all the things I've done in my life, and some of them have been beneficial, some of them have not been beneficial, some of them have been something I wanted to do, some things I haven't wanted to do. But there's many, many things that I've done in my life, and one of them is not, I've never really played organized baseball. I played a little bit on Little League, and then I made the team as a senior high student. I made the baseball team, but then haying season kicked in. You know how that works. You know, so the haying season kind of took over from the baseball. And so I never really played organized, real good organized baseball. I've always messed around with it, but really, I watch it some on TV, but it seems to be one of those games that's a lot more fun to play than watch. I don't know, it's kind of like golf to me. You know, I'd rather play golf than watch golf. And sometimes I'd rather watch football than play football because I know how much I hurt when I get done playing football now, you know. So baseball, the understanding of baseball is there's this nine players, right? And you can bring up the slide for me, please. The nine players around this diamond out into the outfield. Can you bring it on the back wall, too? The nine players are around this diamond. We have number one is the pitcher, and then we have the catcher as number two. As I was writing that down, I was kind of wondering why they just don't call him a thrower. If he's a thrower and a catcher, you know, but they don't all get a pitcher and a catcher, and then we have around the bases, first and second and third, and shortstop, and then we have left and center and right field. And that's the players, right? There's nine players on the field. So that's the defensive end, right? That's where they're out there trying to defend against something that the offensive side is trying to do. Well, unlike football, the baseball players both play defense and offense. Wouldn't that be kind of cool if you could just have, okay, these are the defense, and then you just have a bunch of heavy hitters out there and just put them in as your offense? I don't think that's ever going to fly. But so these nine people have to go in, and they have to switch hats, so to speak. They have to go from defense to offense. And each one of these players, and I've learned some things about baseball. I did coach softball for a while, but things about baseball, batting order is one of those things that you just don't mess with that. You know what I mean? Once you submit your batting order, you need to stay in the batting order. So each one of these guys are people that are playing this sport have an order that they're going to bat. And so they come in from the defense, they're going to play offense now, and they're going to be turned into these offensive players. So I want to know, each time they come up to bat, they get at least three swings, right? At least three balls across the plate. So I want to know how much time. So here's the batting order. Here's inning one and A, B, and C, players A, B, and C, who might have been first catcher, pitcher, catcher, and first baseman, whatever. Here's A, B, and C. So I follow that down through in the next. If it's three and then you're out, three and then you're out, three and you're out. This is minimum. I get this. This is not, the coach is not hoping that this will happen. This is a bad scenario, but it is minimum scenario, right? So, and then the second inning, the third inning, and then the fourth inning, here comes the A, B, and C are back up to bat again, right? I think I got this right. Anybody plays baseball? And then you see in the seventh inning, here's A, B, and C. They get to play again. Push the button one more time. Here we go. So A and three A's, and of course three I's and three H's and three D's. So everybody gets three times up to bat. Minimum, right? Am I right? So, and every time you come up to bat, you have three times up to bat. And then every time you're up to bat, you get a minimum of three balls, right? I mean, if you just stand there, boom, 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 and they're all strikes, you get a minimum of three balls. So every player on that team, when he plays offense, has at least nine swings. The potential of nine different swings. Am I right? Does the math work out? I think three times three is nine. Yeah, so it's nine swings, right? So every time it's a brand new swing, right? Boom, here comes a strike. And the guy's like, oh, he's kicking dirt. He's trying to kick it on the home plate to try to make the strike zone smaller and all that stuff that they do, right? But then a brand new swing, right? It's a brand new swing. He's got a brand new ball coming in there. And he gets to know it, but if he gets too down the mouth about the last ones that he just did, he won't see the next one. But it's a new swing. Every single time he gets a new, nine different times in one game, he gets nine swings, minimum nine different swings. I find that very encouraging to me. You know, I don't know. It said that the cat has 9 lives. I don't know about that. You know, I've seen some cats that have like 50. But 14. But you get minimum 9 swings. 9 different new swings coming across the plate each time. A new swing. We have been talking about things that God has given us and what God has put into our possession to use for our use. He puts something into your possession. When God gives you something, He puts it into your possession for your use. And we talked about that. Testimony, a touch from God, a healing touch, the Word of God, people to help us. We've talked about those things that God has given us. Today we're going to continue on that. And it's like baseball. God's given us a new swing. I don't think God's a God of second chances. He's a God of a new swing. I don't know if you'll get a chance to do what you didn't do yesterday. I don't know if you'll get a chance to do that again. But you'll get another chance. You'll get a new swing. So I'm not saying that God is a God of second chances. I don't know that. But God is a God of new swings. And every ball that comes across your plate is a new swing, a new potential. And God is pitching you one after another after another. You've got a chance for a new swing. Things might be gone. I don't know. And maybe they'll come back. I don't know. I'm not going to say God gives you 3 chances or 6 chances or 9 chances and then you're doomed. I don't know that. But I know He gives you a new swing. He's going to pitch another ball. He's given you a new swing. What are you going to do with that? He's putting a new swing into your possession. What are you going to do with it? And Psalm 126 is the psalm we're going to look at today. And I think if I would highlight the psalm, I would say the baseball psalm. He's up again. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion. When the Lord brought back captives, whatever had happened in their life, they had struck out one time and they were out of the batter's box. They were gone. They were captive. They were confined. They were restrained. Jeremiah writes in Lamentations this, I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I hope for in the Lord. I remember my afflictions and my wanderings and the bitterness and the gall. And I remember them and my soul downcast within me. That's a little leaguer striking out. We have struck out, he says. And his head's hanging down low. We are in captivity, Jeremiah says. We have passed over the chances maybe that God had given us. And we have spent time in captive. I have swung and I've missed. I backed out of the batter's box. And I got caught looking. When I was coaching softball, it was another one. I told the girls, I'm going to nail your sneakers to the plate. I'm going to nail them in there. Because 3 steps back and a swing, you ain't going to hit it. Your bat's not long enough. You got to stay in there. But sometimes we back out, right? God throws us something and we back away. Or we swing and we miss. Or we just stand there and we look and we pass it right by. And then we call the strike and we missed it. Jeremiah says, I know what it is to miss it. I know what it is to back out. I know what it is to strike and miss. I know what it is to stand there and just get caught looking. I have been in captivity. I know what it is to strike out in life. Does anyone else in this room know what it is to strike out sometimes in life? When you're feeling, man, I know what it feels like. But the psalmist is saying, look what he says. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, they are back at the plate, baby. They are back in the batter's box. They are back digging in deep again. He says, we are back in the batter's box. Lamentations goes on to say this. Push the button, please. Whatever you have done in the past, whatever offense you have experienced, and whatever you have been through, push the button. You are not out. Are you with me? You are not out. Ready yourself for another swing because God's going to pitch the ball to you again. God is the one who's on the mound. And God is the one directing the game.
And he's saying, I got you. I know that your head's hanging low. I know that your head's hanging low. But you got to realize, I got you back in the box. Look what he says in Lamentations, I think now. We are like men who dreamed. We are like men who dreamed. This is back in Psalm 129 or 126. He said, we are men. I can't believe it. That's what he's saying. God has brought us back from captivity to Zion, to the batter's box of life. God has brought us back from hopelessness. God has brought us back from striking out, from backing out, from doing the things of life that has left me in the dugout with my head hanging down. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves back in the batter's box and back ready to get another ball thrown across the plate. I can't believe it, he says. We are men like men who dream. You mean I get another swing? I don't know if it's your second or your 50th or your 14th. I don't know. But you get another swing? You're going to get another swing. You're going to get another swing, he said. Then we were like men. Go ahead. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongues were songs of joy. Our mouths were filled with laughter. And our tongues were full of joy. You can't even believe how he felt when he got your name called again. You're up! I struck out last time, coach. I struck out last time, God. I know, but you're up! Man, I backed out of the batter's box, coach, and I got caught looking, and I didn't move when you asked me to move, and I didn't stay in the batter's box like you asked me to stay in there. I know that's all my fault. I know, but you're up! God, I closed my eyes when I swung last time. And I just swung because I was scared not to swing. I just swung because I was scared. I know, but you're up! You are not out. You are not out. You are up. Wherever you have done, whatever you have been, wherever has been done to you, you're not out. You're up. And what are you going to do with the new swing? What are you going to do with this new swing that God has put in front of you? Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongue with songs of joy. This is not a dream. We are up to bat again. I get another chance. I get another chance. I get another chance. I get another chance. I get a new swing. There's a new ball coming across the plate. I get another one. What a gracious God. And look what the next verse says. Then it is said among the nations, you've got to be kidding me. He's giving them another swing. My translation. Man, that must be a gracious God. That must be a God of another swing. That must be a God who's gracious and merciful and loves those people, because he's called them back out of the dugout again. He's called them back into the batter's box, and he's going to pitch them another ball. And they're going to have the ability to hit it. God, I don't know if I've changed since the last time you threw a ball across the plate. I know, but you're up. God, I don't know if I'm any more courageous than I was the last time I backed out of the batter's box and got struck out. I know, but you're up. You're up. What are you going to do with this swing? What are you going to do with this swing? The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. I'm telling you what. If you could get the sadness shook out of one of those girls in the softball team because they'd struck out the last time, and you could say, you're back up again. And they were filled with joy. They had another chance. He said, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. He says, I can't believe it. God, if I was the coach,
much I would eternally bench me. I know, but you're not God. I am, and you're up. You want to play ball or not? You stop trying to be the coach. You're the player, God's saying. I decide the batting order. And you're up. And what are you going to do with it? I don't know if you're at your fifth chance or 10th chance or 20th chance, but it's a new swing. I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. I love that in James, or in Job. God has the ability and the authority to give you a new swing. Are you with me? Will you stop trying to tell God how to play the game? You know what? Another thing I learned, there's lots of fans who think they can play the game a lot better than the players. Shut up! In the name of Jesus, shut up! Well, I tell you what I would do. I know! Shut up! God says, I'm the coach. And if I call your name, get up to the batter's box. Because I'm going to pitch you some more balls. And you're going to get a new chance. Am I making sense today? And I know, Job says, that I know that you can do all things, God. No plan of yours can be thwarted. For the Lord Almighty has purpose, and who can thwart him? The question is, it got an answer? No one! His hand is stretched out. Who can turn it back? No one! When God calls your name, you're up! How does that make you feel this morning? Makes one person feel pretty good. Or at least medium. God, can you believe this? I'll just go off script here for a little bit. Can you just believe that God loves us this much? That he's not. He's got the stats. He's got the stats of your life, and he doesn't look at the stats. He looks at you when he calls your name again. He said, I'm going to give you another chance. And no one can stop me from giving you another chance. No one can stop me from giving you another chance. No one can stop me from giving you another chance. Because I'm the coach. I get to make the rules, God says. No one. Restore. Look, now he's digging in. Woo, now he's kicking dirt out of the batter's box. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. You know what that is? The streams in the Negev, they come like once a year, and all of a sudden this wilderness becomes this tropical place of flowers and trees and grasses grow up. In this dry and wilderness land, the grasses start to grow up, and the grasses and the flowers start to bloom. Because why? Because one drop at a time, the rain comes. And he's saying the whole time, oh God, restore it, God. Give me some rain, God. Give me some rain, because I don't want to back out of the batter's box, because I don't want to strike out. I want this swing to be productive in my life. I want to take advantage of what you've done in my life. I want to hit the ball this time, God. Restore like you did in the Negev. Restore. Make me flower, God. Make me bloom, God, because I don't want to strike out again. What a heart. What a heart.
God, please rain on me. Look at Psalm 51. I think he's saying that this is David saying, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. I think David's on the way to the batter's box. And he's saying, God, you better start raining right now. I need to be cleansed, God, because I got fear in me. And I'm afraid I'm going to back out again. But he's saying all the way to the batter's box, all the way to, cleanse me with hyssop, God, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Later on in the psalm, he says this. Push the button, please. And he says this. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me, because I am not leaving this batter's box. Rain on me, God. You're giving me a new swing. Rain on me, God. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. And I think God's saying this. Will you put the work in? Will you sow? Will you sow in tears? Will you sow in expectation that you're going to reap songs of joy? Will you do it? Will you put the work in? Will you partner with me, God saying? Will you partner with me? Will you partner with me? I'm going to make it rain on you. Don't worry. I called your name to the batter's box again. Don't worry. I'm the coach. I've made the decision. You're up again. But now will you use what I've given you? Will you use what I've given you so that you can hit the ball, so you can take advantage of this new swing that I put in your life? Those who sow or work with tears and expectation, they will reap with songs of joy. Will you put the work in? Will you look for ways to take advantage of this new swing that you got? How about a new life? Look at this. Look at this, says in Zechariah, one of my new favorite verses. Don't despise the small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Don't you love that? Yeah, but I'm not making very good advancements. Are you making any advancements? Yeah, they're like baby steps. God's rejoicing over you right now. I'm going to step, God. I'm going to step, and I know that you honor and that you are creating that in me, and the ability to hear you, to come up to the plate again, to get in the batter's box, to cry out for you to rain on me, for you to forgive me and restore me and strengthen me, to you to give me the eyes to see that ball coming in, because I'm not going to miss it this time, God. I'm going to put in here. I'm going to stand against that. The fear, you have no place in this batter's box. And I will move. And I will move, and I will move, and I will move with you, God. Small steps at a time, but I'll be stepping. This is what I like. I look back through the some of the miracles of Jesus. Someone, he interacted with people, and the next thing he told them to do. I love this one. The woman with a bleeding issue, she turned. Jesus turned and saw her, and he says, take heart, daughter. You know what that means? You know what the next step was that Jesus told her to do? You know what it was? Take heart. You know what that, well, no, that can be translated? Smile. Smile. God's just done this thing. He just called you to the batter's box. What does he want me to do next? Smile. Just enjoy that he's called you there. See, I get all this, okay, God, am my theology right and my doctrine right? And am I going to be able to walk on water? Maybe he'll call us to walk on water, but right now he's just calling us to smile. You've got another chance. You've got another chance. Smile. I got to go, I know. No, I got to read that other one, though. Again. Then Jesus said to him, get up. God, what do you want me to do next? Just get up. That seems a little easy to me. God says, well, you aren't going to be able to go to the next step unless you get up. Get up. Smile. Stand up. Push the button, please. Here we go. And then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, that it will be done to you. And their sight was restored. And Jesus warned him sternly, it's this only for you. Don't go blab it all over the place. I think sometimes God's saying, that's just between me and you. That's just between me and you. I've touched you. I've forgiven you. I've restored you. I've loved on you. You don't need to tell anyone that. That's yours and my secret. Next time when you're up to bat and I pull this and I pull these, all these, whatever you guys do with those, all those signs that football or baseball players do. See? God's going to do that. He's going to say, whoo, whoo, and oh yeah, I remember that day. Just between me and you, we got a sign. I know I got to go. So Jesus said, have the people sit down. There are plenty of grass in this place. And the men sat down. There are about 5,000 of them. Sometimes I think, and I don't think I'm spiritualizing these things. I think, God, what do I do? 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 Sit down. I can't hardly keep up with you. I know, God, there's this. I know. Sit down. Relax. John 9 says this. Go, he said, told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. Go. Take the next steps of your journey. And Jesus was going into the village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when they saw him, when he saw them, he said, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were clean. What was the next step? Hey, why don't you go to service next week? God, I don't know about going to church. Just go. There's pretty hypocritical people there. I know. I'm there too. But go. I love those people. I know. They're hypocrites. I know. So are you. You'll fit right in. The man from whom the demon had gone out and begged to go with him, Jesus said to him, return to your home and just tell your mom and dad what I've done in your life. Just tell them. Just tell your family. You know what God did in my life today? I tell you what, they're pretty cool conversations, which we don't have very often. Come! Jesus said, now here's it's getting risky. This is a little more than a smile, maybe. But I don't think so, because I think when God tells you to smile, it's going to be as hard to smile as it is to get out of the boat. Because you're going to need God to smile as well as get out of the boat. And that's what he's telling Peter, you're going to need to leave the boat. You're going to need to come. You're going to need to get out of the boat. I'm comfortable here. I know, but come. Next one. Jesus looked at him and loved him, and one thing you lack, he said, he's talking to the rich young ruler, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. You got stuff in front of me, he said. You need to let it go. Then later on, or earlier, Jesus said, repent. Aren't you glad we can repent? Aren't you glad we can repent? Can you imagine being on a road that's going the wrong way and unable to turn around? Ever? Can you imagine getting on the road the wrong way and ended up in California and you wanted to go to Altoona? You can never get off the wrong road. God says, no, wait a minute. You can get off the wrong road. It's called repent. Just turn around. You know those little roads that says emergency vehicles only? God doesn't have any emergency vehicles only. We're all emergency vehicles. He said, you can exit right here and turn and go the other way. He told them the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest. So I think he's saying pray. See, I think that as I went through these things, and just to encourage you, I'm on my last page of notes, so that helps. And it's only a half sheet, see? And we already did that one. I like to keep you knowing where we're going. Because
Sometimes it's just, is that guy ever going to end? There I am. Verse 6 is the last verse of Psalm 126. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Isn't that beautiful? He who goes out is, in the Hebrew language, is very determined speech. It's not just said, he who goes out and kind of on the porch and just kind of looks around. No, this guy is determined. He who goes out to hit the ball. I'm going to hit the ball. I'm going to be bringing back a grand slam, a base hit. I don't know, but I'm going to hit the ball this time. Because I've been given another swing. Look at this. These are the last two slides. Just watch. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Isn't that beautiful? I can do it all. I can make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every great hit. How about it? Isn't that beautiful? One more. Being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? He said, I can make all grace abound to you. And as a matter of fact, I'm always going to be your coach. I'm always going to talk to you. I'm going to give you another swing. And I'm going to bring it to completion right up to the day that Jesus takes you home. Just stand with me. I got to end there. God, I thank you for these moments together. And Father, I want to pray for us this morning. Maybe it's afternoon. I don't know what time it is. This day, I'm going to pray for us. That no matter how many times we struck out, or maybe we struck out in the van on the way here and we're feeling kind of down. Maybe we struck out a week ago or a couple weeks ago and we think that, yeah, I just deserve this time on the bench. But then we're hearing you call our name. God is calling us, come to the plate. God, but I failed so miserably last time. I know, but I'm your God and I love you. And I'm full of grace and mercy, and I want you to come back to the plate. I want you to come back in the batter's box. Because I'm going to throw you another ball. I'm giving you another swing. God, you are faithful. You are so faithful, and we thank you for that today. Father, help us. Hear that call back to the batter's box. Help us to hear that call to say, plant it, plant, plant, expect, plant, work, expect, come to the plate, seek God, dig in, tighten your laces on your spikes, adjust your batter's glove, get your helmet on. You're on the offense. Let's put this ball in play. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. And on this day, we say thank you, God, for another swing. Not just a second chance, but another swing. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.